This episode of Super GG Radio is brought to you by our Patreon. Patrons of the show can get our Dogs of Super GG Radio newsletter, Super GG Radio stickers to slap on your closest PC or bag, input on what we cover, game nights with the hosts, and even a chance to win a copy of an indie we talked about. Not only that, but 90% of all patron contributions go to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. Visit patreon.com/superggradio to learn more.
What's good, internet, and welcome to session 248 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I'm your host and 2D Mario of the podcast, Eric Getty Gettinger. With me, as always, is the controllable 3D face from Mario 64, Alex Arona.
I am not Chris Pratt. That's offensive. That's offensive.
To who?
To everybody around Chris Pratt. What is her name? You know who I'm talking about. Because she is a saint.
Princess Peach?
No. He's talking about her ex-wife.
I loved her. She's from Scary Movie. That's what I have to say about it. The girl from Scary Movie. I'd rather be her than Chris Pratt.
Also joining us is Paper Mario of the podcast, Joel DeWitt.
Give me that thousand-year door, boy.
Anna Faris! Nailed it.
Well, internet, give it to him. Did you get it? Are you reviewing it? Do you have your hands on it? Did you talk to those guys at Nintendo World Report? Did you get a copy? Joel.
You know he has to sign a lot of NDAs for this.
Joel.
Yeah?
Blink twice if you got it.
Okay, this is not fair. I'm very tired, and I'm... it's...
Hey! This is not your spring break. This is the kids' spring break.
Right?
You made it your time.
It was really just choosing what work. It really was.
All right, I guess he may or may not have that, and he's playing it right now. Lastly, we have Mario straight out of New Donk City, Alec Parks.
You want to see all the red coins I found?
Nope.
No, here at Super GG Radio, we do not condone the use of red coins. Super GG Radio is not affiliated with any red coin creators.
I will message Mary Kish and get us banned off of Twitch.
For talking about red coins.
You can't call them that.
I don't know what that means. This week on Super GG Radio. All right, Joel, now cut some stuff in here.
Perfect. Thank you for that stuff. What define stuff here?
Just go through the episode and you know what? Just use all of the Getty sound bites that we already have. No, just use all of the Getty sound bites we already have.
All right.
It doesn't even have to make sense.
Write it down, Joel.
None of this has to make sense.
This is
you got time off anyway.
I might be able to make it work. We'll see.
Do what you need to. Just get all of the Alex clips. Clean reads tonight, Alex. Clean reads.
Only the cleanest of reads. Devil Joe, what? How about that one?
I don't know if we can use that. Okay. I guess I'll still do stuff here. We got sand, and we're going to be pouring it out of our pants in early adopters. Don't make a face like that. Just go with it. We got news. Some kind of news. I don't know what we're doing with the news this week. And then, hey, we're going to go Super Mario in the backlog. Wow. That worked out. I don't know how.
I forgot that was the thing.
Yeah. I did this Mario opening completely unprompted. So kudos to whoever played Super Mario Wonder and the punishment that they'll have to tell us about it in the backlog this week. But first, we do early adopters where we play alphas, betas, and games that we've played before? Alex?
Yeah, we played another one.
Calling audible here?
Well, it had popped up in the news that there was further development in this game, and I can't remember when we played it.
Many years ago.
Yes. Rose and Locket. Rose and Locket. It is a stylish 2D... Is it bullet hell?
No, I don't think it's... I don't think it's bullet hell. Platformer?
But
platformer adventure game?
Kinda twin stick shootery.
Kinda.
Okay, so you are in hell, and your job is to capture souls for the devil. I don't think it's actually for the devil.
It's for envy.
It's for envy, and I don't know envy.
The sin incarnate.
Is it established that you're in hell? I thought that these sins were just running rampant around, you know.
That world seemed real wild. It could be hell-like.
I totally thought it was in the underworld.
Is it? Okay.
Rose, a former outlaw, travels through the spirit realm of the Underwest.
Okay. So it's...
under hell?
Under... no.
West hell?
West.
Wild,
West hell.
Wild hell? Wild hell? Okay.
It's the less favorable part of hell.
You know. And it's thematically, it is like it was like a little demonic with like a Wild West theme. You got a pistol. You got some guns, a shotgun.
Hat. Don't forget the hat.
Does the hat do something?
Yeah, you just have a hat.
Poncho.
It's a cowboy hat.
Cool. So you use your stick to aim and you shoot bullets, and you get a TNT bomb that you can throw. But the rest of it is mostly just like side-scrolling, roll through enemy attacks, shoot your enemies, explore, do some light platforming. It's really well done, as in like it's cel-shaded and also does like split screen, almost like comic book panels, where mm-hmm. the bottom panel will be you traversing this platforming challenge, but above is like the villain talking to you, and then once you beat the platforming challenge, you end up at the top part of the panel, and now you're heading towards the villain. It's just a cool aesthetic overall. It's a lot of style, it's a lot of flair, it's bright colors. There's a boss fight in this where it goes through different phases. Sometimes the phases, it's just your silhouette against black and then red light, mm-hmm. and you're just moving through these different bullets in a bullet hell sequence, but then that phase is over, and now you're facing off directly with the boss. You're riding a coffin it's like a rocket-powered coffin.
Yeah, I didn't understand that too well, but
it you know what,
the aesthetic of it.
You know what? I don't think you need to. I think you know what they said. Man, this is cool as hell, and you're like, yeah, it is. And then like, does it make sense? Doesn't have to. It's cool as hell, and you're like, yeah, it is.
It's weirdly cinematic
with the use of negative space.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, I'm here to fight you, and the guy's like, sure, come at me, rocket powered coffin, just like right away. Okay, cool. I guess we're doing this now.
It's really wild. From what I played of this, it seems like the boss battle might be the thing to work through. I mean, there are spaces in the platforming where there's small enemies, but they're usually pretty disposable by gun, and the platforming itself was pretty light. Nothing that seemed too harrowing, and they jump you right back to the start of the screen. You don't lose too much progress. So at least from the standpoint of this demo, it's clear what this is going to be, but also it's so little that it makes you want more. Leaves you wanting more.
And I felt like there was a lot there. You could probably do leveling up. You get multiple different weapons that you could swap between that have secondary fire rates. I know that during the boss, they give you the pistol where you could just fan the hammer.
Yeah.
That's just a super fun thing to do. So just hitting all of your bullets rapid fire is just a fun activity. I've never done it in real life. Feel like it'd be fun as hell to do it in real life. I don't know. But in this game, it's fun just to unload into a boss like that. So that's why I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what? This is just a good time. This all seemed brand new to me, so it feels like it's a whole new demo. What do you guys remember that or no?
I think that there's similarities on a little bit of it. That first time we played it, I want to say that the boss was like a chase scene. You're chasing after him.
Okay.
Or running from him. And shooting at him? It was definitely more dynamic in the movement that you were evading. This one, when you get to the boss fight, it does require that you are pretty quick on your feet because it'll limit the space in some of the areas, and other times it's like, here, you can have the whole screen to run around in. But guns, yeah, I think guns was the same.
It does, yeah, do the thing though, where it like adjusts the screen size to give you like different parts, like different like pieces of like, oh, the challenge now is bullet hell, but now you're in a tiny corridor.
Yeah, Wrath thinks you could just throw me in a box.
Can't put Getty in a box.
No, I was going to say can't put Rose or Locket in a box, but maybe you can put Locket
Rose
in a box.
Rose is, I believe, the daughter spirit that you're with. That's
no, no, Rose, I think, is
Locket
you.
Is the Locket.
Okay.
It's confusing. It's not confusing.
It's very straightforward.
Yeah. Anything is the opposite of that.
This is not the first time I've misunderstood the plot of one of these demos, but I really, really enjoyed Rose and Locket. And I kind of saw that there was more content in the demo, so I was like, well, okay, you know what? I would not mind revisiting this one.
Okay.
So here we are.
So here we are. So guys, tell me. Wishlist?
I wishlisted it.
I absolutely did.
Yeah.
You didn't still have it on your wish list from last time?
Again,
I didn't. So shame, oh, shame on me for that, I guess.
Guys. Okay.
I think that the demos showed significant improvement, and that's why I wish listed it.
Okay.
I'm excited for the full feature of the game now.
It gave me more idea of what to expect in the style and flair and the like moment-to-moment action. Instead of much like the demo that we played next, I feel like I got more out of this time.
Are you trying to segue?
Yeah.
Segue. Comic book style? Hey guys, let me tell you about Sandland. Well, maybe not comic book style, but it was a comic at some point.
So with Sandland, I feel like this demo is more of like a proof of concept explaining to you what the action is going to be and less of what the rest of the game is. And that's why I feel like Rose and Locket now, I now have a better understanding of what to expect as a whole. And so for me, I'm like, oh yeah, let's get on this train. But now with Sandland, I'm kind of like it's your character. Is in the desert, and here you go, you get three different attack, you can attack like normally, but you also get a motorcycle, a mech suit, and a tank to fight enemies. Go nuts. And after that, that's just kind of it, is that like, okay, go explore and fight things. And that's for me where I was like, well, okay, I got that.
I explored some ruins.
I found a giant scorpion boss.
Did you fight him?
Yeah, I beat him.
There you go.
But I'm saying is that I didn't get anything outside of the combat.
It didn't really give too much to you.
Yeah,
it was just like,
that's what I'm saying.
Here is what you'll be able to do. It doesn't give you any of the backstory. It doesn't introduce you to the characters. It just says, here's your toys. Go play in the sand. Quite literally.
But like, I think it was that for me, I also don't know, are there going to be quests? Is the world going to be bigger, smaller? Is there going to be more to do? Is this going to be is this going to be an Assassin's Creed map barf? Because I could see this being kind of cool for that. Like, I'm interested in like a check, you know,
you want to climb towers?
I haven't done that in a while. And I know that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is that game too. But also, you know, again, I haven't done that in a while. I haven't done a Far Cry since five.
He didn't play Far Cry 5, guys.
It was 4?
He played 4.
Okay.
He might have played 3.
I played 4. I haven't done a map barf game since then. So I'm due for some of these. Watch Dogs 2.
I really don't know if it's going to have that barf element to it.
I guess I'm a little confused. What's the map barf? What is
imagine
this?
If they like just give you a map, you open the map, and it's just icons.
Yeah, all over the place.
Like but a shotgun blast of icons.
So what I could imagine, and this is out. It's coming out. It's going to be
coming
out.
It's coming out.
But I can imagine it having these different areas where you can see what you can hunt, because upgrading your vehicles is essential to Sandland. And the ruins that I found, I was not able to fully explore them. It became pretty apparent that it gated me because I was not able to jump high enough to make it over one of the barriers. So it was good to explore. The combat outside of your mech, your tank, your motorcycle is challenging. Things will mess you up. They're not really merciful about that. But when you are in one of these machines, you feel powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Oh, dude. First off, we're kind of bearing the lead. This is one of the artwork of Akira Toriyama, Dragon Ball fame, who just recently passed away. This was one of the final projects he was working on. And it is, like, unabashedly just like, you want to get the mech? Here, take a capsule.
Yeah,
like the Dragon Ball capsule, throw it on the ground. You see, almost like you might as well see the words "poof," like they did in the anime. And then all of a sudden, here's a mech, and it's like, oh wait, I want to switch to my motorcycle. Like recall it, another capsule. Boom, here's a motorcycle. It's so stylistic. It's very cool.
Well, it's based off of his manga, so I am not even surprised that it has that same capsule corp like. Ha-ha! Thing to it.
And then, I wonder more of, like, what kind of game it's going to end up being, just because I liked, like, the mech suit was just silly. Like, there's a jump.
Punch.
What was that?
The wind-up for the punch.
Yeah.
That, and also, like, if you double jump, you just, like, you get a jetpack underneath, like, that comes out, like, kind of like your back and your butt, and he just, like, hovers with his legs spread wide. It was real silly. There was a lot. The animations all look very fun and very of that style. And I thought the whole thing. I was like, there's no question who made this. Like every top to bottom, everything just screams that style. And it's like I just look. I have nostalgia for this game. That's what I mean. Is that I feel nostalgic playing this game, and it's a brand new game. So. Yeah,
it's got a lot of potential. I think that it's probably whatever the end product is, it's going to be much. Like we've been talking, there is no lead up to it. It's just go. So all you need is like a little bit more tutorial. Maybe you start with one vehicle, but I could get behind this just for the upgrading of your mech. The tank, though. Oh, man, the tank.
The tank was so awesome.
Yeah, I felt stupid in the tank. I was like, look at me, I'm driving backwards, shooting everything that moves.
Oh. And that carpet barrage of missiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shoots like 100 missiles out of nowhere. It's like, whoa.
Did I need this?
Intense.
No. Is it awesome? Yes.
I'm driving around like in a motorcycle like a sucker.
No. Motorcycle's rad.
I liked it. I liked it.
Being able to just circle around the enemies and shooting from the side, or you can just switch to a straight bullet too if you.
Yeah, there's the machine gun and then just like rockets, and the rockets have the swivel, so I was doing that quite a bit. And I that's how I beat the giant scorpion. I just was like ducking and moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun.
See, I ran into the raptor leader boss, and cool. I used the mech. To just box him out.
Oh, that sounds so cool. See, right off the bat, this is like inspiring a lot of good stories where I'm just like, oh, wait, what did you find? Oh, that's cool.
But again, I think once you get the full game in your hands, it'll be a lot better than this demo.
Yeah, and with that, I'm kind of on the, I'm going to wait and see. That's why I have not wishlisted this, because I'm like, well, I'm not sure what the rest of the game is. I'm very curious.
That was what my answer was going to be. I thought you two would be getting it, and I would have the chance to just sit on the sidelines and see what the final verdict was.
Nah, I got too much to do right now. I will wait for it.
Joel, do you want to be the canary in the coal mine here?
What do you mean? You want me to pay you first?
Make him buy a game?
Tell us
don't
what the game is.
Make him do that.
You tell us what the game is, Joel.
I'm sure there will be Twitch streamers. You can just watch them.
Yeah, you could go on Twitch.
Yep.
.tv/SuperGGRadio where Joel is going to be streaming Sandland.
Yay!
Bad guy.
Be the bad guy.
Is it a morality system? Okay, I'm in.
I don't know.
No, but,
I don't
but
know.
You're a devil.
I don't know.
You are a devil?
The fiendish prince, Beelzebub.
That feels like a technicality that you could squeeze it into the schedule.
So that's a hard yes, right?
I said no.
Anyway.
Anyway, let's go ahead and take a break to get the sand out of our shoes. We'll see you on the other side.
I do the kind of wine where it's like one glass is half a bottle.
So anyway,
it's just one glass.
That just makes my head hurt thinking about it.
Yeah. No, this is the news from Super GG Radio. Now with 15% more hedgehogs.
All the hedgehogs.
No, only 15% more.
Oh, that math doesn't add up the way I said it. You're right.
Thanks.
Thanks for recognizing it.
We got news this week, and we have plenty of what are rumors. So, just
there's not that many.
Just deal with it, internet. I have to. One of these is just a link. It's not even a link.
You know who did that.
Wait.
You
hold on.
You know who did that.
You didn't even have the common courtesy to put a link into here. You just pasted a URL.
You know who did that.
This is the news with Super GG Radio. We're serious business. All right. First up.
I tried. You know what? I tried.
First up.
You don't try.
Go Fight Fantastic. Goes 1.0. This last week?
This was actually,
We missed it, didn't we?
Last week. It's this game we had played a long time ago. We had our friend Allison from Gaming Fix on. And actually, we all, she's the one that really got to play it. And it was kind of Diablo-esque multiplayer, top-down, not quite twin stick, but like more just like adventure game-based. And it looked like a lot of fun, so it just went 1.0. And we're hyped for any of our games that we talk about on this show to go 1.0.
Okay. Cool. Next up, this is big news for Alex. Marvel Rivals announced. This is your Overwatch with Avengers.
It's very funny because it's so one-to-one that it's like kind of uncomfortable how one-to-one it is.
If I Google Marvel Rivals, will I find Don't Do It? Or Do It?
What will you find? You'll find the game.
Yeah, but do I want to do that?
Yeah, it looks good. It looks great. It's just more comedic how one-to-one it is.
I'm not convinced based on that.
So it's fine. So here you go. Bruce Banner
is a person.
Diva.
He explodes.
No,
rages out.
No, he's Bruce Banner with a little laser pistol, and when he gets mad, he can turn into the Hulk.
You sure?
Yep, that's how it works. And then wait, what's her name? Penny Parker is also Diva. She just shoots her little pistol and then calls down the mech when she wants, and then does that. She's just based off of Diva.
I mean, that character makes sense for it. All right.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, they're both that, and they do a lot of that kind of stuff. There's Scarlet Witch throws these orbs around, which is again Moira from Overwatch. There's just a lot going on here that I'm like, well, this feels so close. But it's you know, I like Overwatch, so that's fine.
Is it?
This looks cool, but also again, they're like, oh, the first map is Asgard, which also looks like that Golden City map from Overwatch. Okay.
it's so bad. It looks so much like it. I can't watch. I've made it 15 seconds
close, right?
into the trailer. I can't do this. I'm sorry.
It's real close. I mean,
this is ridiculous.
The game looks cool as hell.
This is ridiculous. Also,
if they had told me, like, Overwatch update, boom, I'd be like, yeah, that's Overwatch for sure. I know my Overwatch.
Yeah.
I played that game for
nope. This is
40, 50, 60 hours. I'm in.
This is somebody backwards engineering Overwatch and then reskinning all the characters to Marvel.
Yep.
Oh, good for them. You know what? Good for them. You know, it'd be like a real slap in the face if this came with a single player mode, like a story mode. I would die.
That's the only way you could get me to play it, though.
they just kind of said how they canceled
the Overwatch 2's
main story.
Yeah, I was all on the hype train for that. That was the only thing that was like, maybe one day I'll play it. Now it's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Nope. No, thank you.
But now, Marvel Rivals.
If they really want to stick it to Overwatch, they would make a league and have it just eclipse the Overwatch league.
Marvel's Rival League.
Yes.
Instead of Overwatch League. Oh, yeah. No, it's...
They could call the Stan Lee Cup.
Stan Space Lee. There we go.
I will play this. The characters are cool. They, you know, Loki can turn into everybody else. Black Panther has, like, the shield that will blast backwards, and he could call Bast the Panther God, which also is that the arrow guy who could just shoot a serpent forward. Sure. We can do that. You know.
Oh, man.
What else we got?
I'm trying to watch this now. I don't know,
is it
guys.
A train wreck?
You're gonna play.
I don't know.
No, it's cool. It's cool, but it's just also like, come on. Like,
it looks cool, but
you're real close.
At the same time, yeah.
This is like where everyone's like, Pal World, the Pokemon Company should sue, and it's like, I feel like this is more like closer to that kind of thing. We're like, Overwatch should probably call a lawyer and just say, hey, what do you guys think?
Maybe Disney licensed the engine.
That could be.
I mean, sure.
I don't know. This seems like it's just a little bit too close.
I like the characters though. Like again, like Majik or Magic, they got her. They got some. Who was it? They just have a lot of good stuff that I would be like. Okay, I'm on board with. But Spider-Man looks weird. Spider-Man looks like the most uncomfortable. I think of all of these.
It has sexy Galactus.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that was weird. That's like Galactus' daughter, I guess.
And then what are this? Is this like teasers of more characters that are joining?
Yeah, you get a giant beefy boy Punisher with his neck that's bigger than
I see Magneto, Star-Lord. Is that supposed to be female Loki?
No.
Or is that Mantis?
That's Mantis.
That doesn't really make sense, but okay. Storm.
They gave her energy gauntlets.
Makes sense. Scarlet Witch. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They also kind of, there's going to be new maps, new characters, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
I don't know if this is free to play, but it's, you know, I can't imagine they're going to go, like, I feel like if they go $70, they're going to have some problems.
That'd be great.
Why not? It's a quadruple A game.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's an extra A in there for amazing that they got away with it.
Yeah. But all right, so that's the thing. That's the new thing people are talking about. They're like, man, that Marvel Rivals sure looks like a thing. Like they pulled out a no-name ice character to kind of be May, and I was like, that's not. Oh, the new things is that they do have destructible environments, and also they have team-up attacks. So the Hulk can give some of his radiation to Iron Man, who could do a blast.
And he's blasting.
Iron Man's just though that was Valkyrie, right? Joel?
Valkyrie? Yeah.
The flying girl?
Yeah, I think so.
Overwatch? Okay. Yeah.
It's definitely not the character's name, but We'll figure it out. Alex uses the internet.
Not right now, I don't.
Mercy. Anyway.
No, it's the flying mecha.
Farah. Isn't that it?
That one.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Next piece of news. A new Sonic Heroes remake is rumored, that's that word again, to be in development for the Switch 2. What are the chances this is going to happen?
Hey, Joel. What? You're going through Sonic Adventure, possibly Sonic Adventure 2.
I will get there eventually, yeah.
Sonic Heroes is the follow-up to Sonic Adventure 2. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play it.
Okay.
You don't play it.
Okay.
You heard it here, folks. Don't play it.
It was a PS2 game. There are people who like it, and they are wrong.
why is it being a PS2 game such a damnation?
I don't love the PS2. There, okay. I said it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say it's the greatest system. I don't get it. I mean, that's kind of also where I tuned out of gaming for that handful of years. Mm-hmm. I probably enjoyed like 7 PlayStation 2 games.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed the Dreamcast more.
Alex is also part of the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
More like the worst generation. Next piece of news. Again, I guess this has happened before. Square Enix employees continue to hint at a Final Fantasy IX remake at Final Fantasy XIV PAX panel. Those sure are words.
They have been like doing a lot of like, oh, by the way, you can get this. You can go in the Square Enix store and get a Zidane keychain because you all love Zidane. And then they're like, by the way, you know that, you know, Final Fantasy IX sure is a cool game that we all like, and maybe something's happening with it. But until then, you can get your own like pet. You know, like in WoW, you have pet characters. They have that in 14 as well, and you can get a Zidane pet.
And seems weird to have the main character be a pet.
It's also just weird that they keep bringing up. It's just weird that they keep bringing up Final Fantasy IX and that kind of like wink and a nod, like maybe something's coming. Cool. And this also goes back to like the NVIDIA leaks from a long time ago. Supposedly Final Fantasy IX has been done for a couple of years.
Supposedly. Yeah, by credible sources that,
I mean,
definitely aren't spreading rumors.
At this point, the NVIDIA leak is like, what, 70% done now? Right? Like they've come out with like, here's a list, and it was like a lot. It was a lot of games, and I think like 70% of it has all been correct. And the other ones are just like, well, let's give it time.
Super, you know. GG Radio.
70% we're correct.
70%. We're okay with being 70% correct.
I mean, if in a long enough timeline, you become 100% correct, right?
No, I don't think that you do.
If we say, then, like, they're going to remake Final Fantasy IX, in 100 years, at some point, they're going to be like, you know, people probably want to play Final Fantasy IX again.
It's cute let's that you assume that the world will last that long.
I think the world's got another 50 years.
So what, depending. So what you're saying is,
just long enough for us to ruin it for our kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the plan.
Yeah. Next up, Embracer Group sells Gearbox to Take-Two Games. Confirms work is being done on a new Borderlands game. I like Borderlands.
It's almost like Embracer shouldn't have bought dozens and dozens of high-profile video game developers with no plans for them.
Yeah.
And going, wait, what happened? None of these are making money.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Who would have thought that there's a cycle that you have to go through to make games?
Yeah. They're like, these are not automatically making money. That's ridiculous.
These guys are probably really great at the stock market, too.
Mm-hmm.
Buy. Yeah. No, sell! Sell! Stupid
for 30 seconds, sir.
Stupid stonks.
It takes 2 minutes to buy and sell.
I almost got rid of that word in my head, Daddy.
You're welcome.
Did y'all see that movie?
No.
Maybe next week we'll talk about it. But I started watching that Hideo Kojima documentary.
Not where I thought you were going.
No.
I thought you were going to do a Stonks movie.
Yeah.
No, they made that movie. That came out. I just have to find out where it's streaming, and I'll watch that too. I mean, I started watching. Did you guys know that they made a GTA docuseries?
No, I did not.
Starring Daniel Radcliffe as the one of the chief creative and geniuses behind GTA.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, that came out in like 2012. I have it. I've watched like one episode of it, but it's these things exist, man. Did you guys see Tetris? That movie was in theaters.
I did not. I know it's on Apple.
That. Yeah, my mom wants to watch Ted Lasso, so I have Apple for the time being. I'm going to watch Tetris. I'll get back to you on that one too.
I don't think that is a factual movie, but, you know.
Apparently the Tetris story is wild. Like it was a Russian game, and then they like the people in Russia agreed to pay to have it like brought to America, and then when the people from the American developers came to get it, they got attacked by the Russian mafia, and they had to like escape Russia while being attacked by the mafia.
Sounds right.
And so apparently that's a true story, and apparently that's what the movie is.
Alex has got this. We'll let him watch all of these movies.
That's the plan. I mean, again, I'm watching these docuseries.
Next thing to talk about. Getting
watch Twin Peaks with me, which might as well be a video game.
Next thing to talk about?
Yep.
Thank you. Rumor. Well, at least we're not beating around the bush here. We just came out and said it right away. Xbox reportedly working with Valve to get Steam on Xbox Series X, Y, 360, 920.
This is a current rumor. This is if you want to get mad about something, this is like the one where like, oh come on, get the hell out of here. This has been reported on the internet and it has not been fully corroborated by anybody else.
One Brock from Damage Boost wants to say, hell yes, Helldivers on Xbox. That's his commentary on it.
I mean, I think that like the bigger discussion really for all of us here is that like I posted this in our chat and Alec goes, oh shoot, I might buy an Xbox for that. And I was like, oh, see, that's the point. Like the people who are just who that like, because talking to the gaming fix people, they're like, no one's gonna buy a box that doesn't play God of War. And I was like, well, technically it's gonna start
right,
playing God
exactly.
of War.
That's one of the things I thought about. It's just like, this is a great way to skirt around the idea of exclusives for Sony whenever they decide to release stuff on PC, right? So that would be a very messy situation, and how would they hash that out? I could see court cases even.
Yeah, and it seems like that tweet has been removed, so like I don't know what that means as far as anything else. But
sorry, what was that? The credible source that we had disappeared from the internet.
I said this had not been corroborated.
At least it was a fun thought exercise.
All right.
I still think it's a fun thought exercise because I like at the same time, Xbox, like they are thinking outside the box. They've been doing.
I've got something that I want to propose. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Picture this. Uh-huh. A video game system being created and released by a fast food franchise. Imagine being able to cook.
Well, no.
Imagine being able to cook your chicken and play games at the same time. We got you, KFC. We're coming for you.
It couldn't be done.
That's really what happened.
It's probably too dangerous.
They're just chickens.
It's like the cornballer.
Those chickens. It's stupid.
All that popped into my head was the 30 Rock Fun Cooker.
Also, the Fun Cooker. Yes, the Fun Cooker was a very funny idea. All right, so I think overall, I think that Valve already tried this with the Steam boxes, and they failed, right? So I think that like if this is an exercise that we're talking about, Xbox, this would be... you know, a 4D chess move. This would be the head of the game. This would be the holy crap. We just, we thought of something that couldn't be done and we paid enough money to make it done. And at the end of the day, that it leads to a possible merging that could be bigger than ever, just because, you know, people will pay to play these games on their TVs.
Well, and it gets rid of all the backwards compatibility issues in mm-hmm. theory.
It gives you already a preset library. One of the things yep. that people have complained about is that, like, the reason why Sony is so ahead is because people built their libraries already. They have all these, like, Sony was the first to get in on the digital library front. And then people just kept buying it. But it's like, also people have been buying games on Steam.
Yeah.
So, like, people have a library. So that's how you get around the library problem.
There was an early phase in Steam where you would spend $30 and it'd be like 100 games. You wouldn't play most of them, but it was $30 for 100 games. So you bought it.
Yeah.
Alex has all those games.
Yep. I will tell you that's I didn't get into PC gaming till way late in the game. And someone's like, you got to go to Steam. And I was like, I got to go to Steam. And I look at Steam and it was like, here are 100 games for like $15. And I was like, well, I should probably do this. And I should probably play another $15 for another 100 games. And I should probably, this looks like, this is a good deal. They're paying me for these to play these games. I will buy that one as well. It just.
There was a Christmas sale once, right, where you could earn coal or something that could open up to be random like games or discounts on top of things. But you had to go into certain games and complete certain achievements to unlock it.
So yep.
Just a wild way to get the community engagement. And, you know, it's a bummer they don't do stuff like that anymore. It was a very novel yeah. idea. Sure.
Good.
All right. Yep.
Spaced out. Developer of Darkest Dungeon and Slay the Spire. Those are the same developer? Two different developers.
Yes. I mean, one of the developers worked on both.
Okay. Says the days of Goldmine Game Pass and Epic Game Store have dried up for indies.
Yep. So this is kind of referring to the fact that, like, there was a lot of money being thrown around for games because of their excitement for, like, oh, all of these game, like, oh, we got to get as many games on Game Pass and Epic Game Store as possible. We got to get all of these free, like, these games and give them away for free. We got to get as many as possible. Just buy them up. And now, apparently, we've hit a cap. We've hit, like, a saturation point where they're like, man, we have enough games to just kind of, like, if you look at Epic Game Store, right, they cycle. You see the games all, like, oh, I already got this on the last, like, freebie, like, a year ago. You know what I mean? They've kind of gone through them over and over, and they've kind of got their fix of these free games. So it seems like there's not going to be, basically, indies are not getting paid as much as they used to, or at all, to get free, like, oh, yeah, you know, Game Pass wants my game. No, they don't know.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, the games go through cycles where the formula is figured out, or people have their jump in at the right moment experience. And the start of Game Pass and Epic Games trying to fight with Steam really was a good opportunity for a lot of devs, because they would pay out that much, to where you would hear stories about a developer saying, basically, my development costs were covered before we even launched on this. And then plus, oh yeah, Epic gives us an extra cut, I think, on top of what yeah. Steam does. So, I mean, it's unfortunate, and it's definitely unfortunate for those of us who want to continue seeing high quality, you know, independently built games on these services, because, you know, they're going to start making business decisions that whatever deal they have to sign isn't worth whatever restrictions they come with.
That, and also, yeah, you got to think about it, right? Like, Game Pass is kind of, like, there's word about Game Pass kind of flat, like plateauing in numbers, as in, like, they've hit a saturation point on even on their subscriber base. And so there's a worry that there's not any more growth, so they're not really selling to more people. So it's just kind of a flat fee at this point for everybody. It's just flat, the number, which is a good number, but it's like, you know, in a world where we want constant growth. And so these indies aren't doing it anymore.
I just think about all those unsold copies of Starfield and how disappointed I am.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
There was some... There was, oh, there wasn't... No,
did
it wasn't Starfield.
Did that hurt your trade-in value?
Yeah, I bought them all up thinking that it was going to be the next form of currency.
Speculative currency.
Yeah. You were all talking about Dogecoin. I was here picking up Starfield.
Nah, man,
like,
we were talking about Wendy's. We're talking about Wendy's. We're buying up the burgers during the cheap sale and then reselling them back to Wendy's when they're raising prices. That's what we're on now, Getty. That's what we're on.
How are
we're shorting the Wendy's market.
Buying a hamburger.
Them double bacon cheeseburgers going to recoup, right, Joel?
He's trying to surge price Wendy's surge pricing.
Give me that fist bump.
No.
Yeah, you did.
No, you didn't earn that.
Awful. I'm actually surprised and amazed that you didn't take the time to program somebody, yeah, coming in and fist bumping you.
Oh, thank
to
you,
your
Joel.
Green screen.
I don't like Danny at this.
No. Last piece of news. New mainline Spyro game reportedly in development.
Is that like a rumor?
Yes.
When I see reportedly, I hope that it comes from a credible source.
Does Kotaku count?
But now
count?
I don't know anymore. Do they count?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys keep sending me articles from these people, and they want me to subscribe to their website, and I think that they are a virus.
Kotaku's not that,
so.
Not that article. Not that place. I will tell you the Borderlands news about a new Borderlands. That is true because it came out of them getting sold. Or them getting bought by Take-Two.
So anyway, new Spyro. Maybe. Yay.
Sweet. Joel?
Yeah.
You're a big Spyro fan?
You know, I liked the first one. And that's it. I didn't touch any of the other ones. So.
Who is it? Is that Elijah Wood? Elijah Wood, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Joel also invested in all of those Skylanders. He's got like 15 Spyros, so.
Spyro coin.
Oh, man.
Shouldn't have gotten into
He's
that.
Not That's denying it.
That's an idea.
Quick Getty, next segment.
Freebies.
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 Freebies. We got freebies. Here's some games. Come and claim them. That's it. I don't got anything else.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. Islets over on the Epic Game Store.
This is a 2D platformer Metroidvania. It very much is like the hack and slash, get different weapons, explore the map, uncover the map. The description is surprisingly wholesome. Help Eco adventure across beautiful hand-painted islands, receive a letter from a quirky cast of characters, and face powerful... letters from a quirky cast of characters and face powerful monstrous adversaries. This looks kind of cool. Yeah, and it does have a lot of the trappings that you would see like in, say, like an Ori or a Symphony of the Night. So... kind of into this.
Next up, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Yeah, I pre-prepped this. I pre-prepped the
predecessor. Episode. Predecessor on Steam.
This is an early access title inspired by the legacy of Paragon. I feel weird when a game describes itself as built with love. It is an ultimate fusion of shooter action and MOBA strategy. It is a third-person shooter.
Sounds like a question.
Third-person shooter with MOBA aspects where you can build towers. Getty, what was that game that me and you both loved that was kind of like Overwatch, but not Overwatch at all?
You're not allowed to say Battleborn on the podcast.
It's a Battleborn-like. Check out Predecessors on Steam.
I get the feeling I know what this next one is. Boomer Road. That's all one word. Boomer Road over on Steam.
Boomer Road. This is a 3D action adventure where you will throw a boomerang and then the boomerang becomes a rail and then you grind that rail. grind that rail. This thing looks cool as hell. The game is set in an ancient ruin floating in the sky, and the player slides through the vast skies on their at their own will while searching for artifacts. At their own will feels awkward. Mm-hmm. Came out this year. In fact, came out 2 days ago. Free to play on Steam.
And it's just free?
It is just free.
You'd be crazy like not that. To pick it up.
Adding to cart.
Next, Doronko Wonko. Doronko Wonko on Steam.
Getty, this is for you and Laser. This is for you and Laser. Action game. In this game, you become a cute, innocent Pomeranian. Make your master's home messy and dirty. Will the master be angry with me? Don't worry, because you are a sweet doggy. The game is you're a Pomeranian and you're just tracking mud throughout the entire house. This game looks rad. Also, came out 2 days ago.
Add to library.
Nailed it.
Last one. Not-o-lot.
Not-o-lot.
N-O-T-T-O-L-O-T over on Steam.
N-O-T-T-O-L-O-T.
Not-o-lot.
It's a free play. This game came out. These three games came out in like 2 days ago. It's a free-play robot hacking action game. The main character, Rolly, uses his hacking ability to control four enemies and escape from a robot production factory. It seems like a 3D puzzle platformer, but using your hacking abilities for movement and avoiding obstacles or also solving puzzles. Not a lot. This game also looks friggin' rad. So, Doronko Wonko, not a lot. And Boomer Road, they ain't no reason why you guys ain't playing these games.
Did you see that Doronko Wonko is a Bandai game?
So is Not a Lot.
Really?
Yep.
Bandai Namco.
Bandai just giving out games right now?
They're just giving these games. Oh, and Not a Lot, Doronko Wonko, and Boomer Road. Just throwing these games around for free. That's sick. That is sick.
I already installed Doronko Wonko, so let's take a break so I can fire it up.
Well, hold on. Never mind. I saw this wrong. It was like Blue Protocol, which we've talked about when we went to Summer Game Fest, and that one looked like it was free. That was wrong.
This is the transition. You can take us to break, Alex's. And we're back with the Backlog Blog, where we play games. Well, I played Persona 3 Reloaded, so you guys can figure it out. Who played games this week? I see Super Mario Wonder, and I see The Invincible. So who are the victims?
Well, Alex had Blue Wednesday in there and rescinded it because he realized that he talked about it in a prior episode. And now I'm paranoid that maybe I did the same thing with Mario Wonder.
I'm sure that you have.
That's fine.
But Oz, with your wonder. It's not like, hold on. It's not like you guys have played and completed a combined 16 plus, 29? So we got like 45 games that we could pick from?
We do. I don't know what Joel's list like.
No, you don't. I can't.
The secret list. I forgot. So there's even more on here. And we can't talk about them because it's secret.
I don't think that Joel has a secret list. I think it was just me.
I'm playing the long game. You don't worry about that.
So anyway.
I can talk about Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
No, not yet. I haven't started it yet.
You know what?
I want to talk about that.
You can talk about it. I'm the host. You can talk about it.
I wasn't more going to ask about, did you finish Mario Wonder?
I did.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. This is an official list. It's been certified
What did you think about how it progresses? Do you think that it stays? Does it wear out its welcome? Does it keep being good throughout? Like, what are we doing?
So my broader experience was that I bought it. Or I didn't buy it. We got it from Santa, and then we waited till Christmas and opened it. And then what happened was it sat there. We played together one really? Night, and then it sat there. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, well, I'll play it. I got bored with it and dropped it, and then it became the game to play when I was at a kid's practice, right? So all that to say that it grew on me, and I got to the point when I was done that I felt pretty satisfied with the experience. It is such a stylistically cool game with more personality in a Mario game than I've seen in a long time, and none of it's really annoying. So I think they nailed...
Not even that talking flower?
No, I'm good with the flower. They're cool. I'm good with them.
Cool. We're cool now.
Okay.
They were always cool, Daddy.
Good to know.
But it was... Some of the additions opened things up a little too much. The badges. I've got a real problem with the badges. And...
What's the problem with
there's
the badges?
Too many.
What's a badge?
There's too many.
Too many
badges alter your game experience and what things you have options for. So one might be where you can have like a parachute jump and be able to glide places. Another one might be a double jump or like extra coins when you run across other modifiers like that. But it's one of those things where it's like it opens up the level too wide to where the platforming challenges don't feel so tailor-made. You know, it feels like it's meant to accommodate so much that it's too broad, it's too open. And that might just...
Okay, so it feels like you can break it almost, or...?
Yeah, kind of. I mean...
Or the sequences don't feel unique anymore.
There you go. That's what I mean. Like, it's... You go back to it might be a victim of it just not being the restricted space that an NES screen might be versus this, but it doesn't have that same limitations, which I'm sure is a lot of fun with, you know, four people, but with one person it just feels too unrestricted.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw strays here, but that's like kind of one of the issues with like 30XX, right, and 20XX, is that like with procedural generation in those games, it leaves it so that your games don't feel like it's handcrafted for the experience.
Right.
Right. It's just like kind of like this is a generic get from A to B, and we kind of threw some stuff in there, but like, do what you want.
It's okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not the right market for it anymore. Maybe it's just hashtag not my Mario, but... I'm getting old, I guess. But it was fun. It is.
You don't like the new Zelda. You don't like the new Mario. No. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I got called a boomer in a game I played recently here, and I felt like,
what game did what someone game? Call you boomer?
We'll talk off offline.
Was it Roblox?
Not yet.
Was it Overwatch?
No.
Okay. The only other game you play is like Rocket League or Smash.
No, I'll explain after the episode.
Too much so vulgarity.
I guess. It's going to break the internet.
Did you tell them that your generation was the greatest generation and that it cost you $2,000 to get your own home? Back in my day? Oh, you can't do that.
He used the word drip a lot, I heard.
That might get you.
But he was talking about his faucet.
He's dripping swag like a leaky faucet. I get way too many weird Facebook ads.
I don't know what the context for that was, but
don't worry about it. So, Getty, do you want to hear about the Invincible?
What a segue. Go ahead. Tell me, none of these other people who are on the podcast, about the Invincible.
So this is based off of Stanislaw Lem. He is a Polish, and this is considered hard science fiction per Wikipedia. It's based off a novel.
Did you use Wikipedia?
To understand more about what this book was trying
and
to do.
And neither of you other guys stopped him. What is wrong?
It wasn't my day to watch him.
I'm on break. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm learning.
This is... You know he can't use the internet unsupervised.
I'm learning.
That's the problem.
You don't want me learning, Getty. So the Invincible is a story about a ragtag group of scientists that come to this planet that's supposedly brimming with, like, oh, this is the perfect atmosphere for life and very much replicates Earth. So we should explore it. But they are considered the Commonwealth. And then there's also the Alliance. The Alliance is a rival faction they don't like. But they have to be careful when exploring because the Alliance is supposedly here. And throughout their exploration, like our character just kind of wakes up out of a blackout and is like, what the heck happened? And is trying to, like, piece together their memories. And it's pretty close to a walking simulator.
Okay.
If you're familiar with those, where it's just kind of like you move forward, investigate a point, move forward, investigate a point.
Because I called something else a walking simulator and then got booed off of the episode, so.
You might have been.
I mean, all you did was walk, so.
Yeah. And you occasionally make dialogue choices because you could, you know, sound a little bit more hopeful or really pessimistic, and then at a certain point the decisions do matter. But the main crux of it is like a mystery that there is some sort of living life form on the planet that's kind of taken everybody out. And you end up teaming up with some of the Alliance, and you know, it's a good mystery, and it does give a good present sense of dread throughout. And I definitely like, this is something that's going to be up for review on our website. The only thing is that I feel like you can pick, you know, there's like a little bit of like a system of like, oh, if you talk to him about this, and eventually if you gather enough data, you can make a choice that's different than, you can make a good choice or a bad choice. If you didn't do enough research, you get only the bad choice, but you know, you can adjust your gameplay by researching enough stuff. And I did the good ending, and the good ending is kind of like very anticlimactic.
Okay.
And that's more that, like, I don't want to give it away, but I will say that, like, by the end of it, I was just like, oh, I guess that was it. I mean, I did the thing that I needed to do, because that's the only right thing to do, I guess. And so it was good. I felt like at the end, like, you know, I don't want to sound like a plebeian or whatever.
No. First wave was better.
Okay. That you need to, like, there needs to be action, and you need to finish with a giant space battle and blah, blah, blah. And it's,
well,
like,
you already qualified it by saying that it was hard science fiction, which is more grounded in reality.
Yes.
So,
and I think that that's more like, I was kind of hoping for a little bit of
come to the conclusion that your actions didn't cause the world to explode or something awful to happen makes sense to me. I would be more intrigued to know what the bad ending is.
You're fully justifying it in the way that I do, and that's, you're on the same page as me, but there is a little bit like, probably could have used some sort of action or something to happen. You know, like a little bit like, all right, I guess that was the right thing to do, but I probably just want to. I want to do something cool, right? No, I don't want to do something cool. No, okay.
Light your cigarette and throw it into a burning building, or I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know, I just a little something, but you know, if that's not what a good guy does in the hard sci-fi.
Bad okay. guy.
Littering.
So it was it was very well done and very well. I felt like it was very well written in a way that I liked the characters. There was like this unease, this tension, this confusion. You didn't know sometimes who to trust, and your kind of commander who's talking to you on the radio is of course a little dicey in his kind of, you know, the way he's talking to you a little bit. Sometimes there is like some conversations that could go one way or another where he's like, oh yeah, by the way, that person's dead. And then you're like, what? That person died? And then later on, he's like, no, that person didn't die. It's like, what? It's like, why'd you say that? I didn't want you worrying. It's like, what? Okay. I'm keeping my eye on you. And so they do some of that, and it all works as a package. I just was like, well, I could probably use a little, like, they have like one little action piece, and that was like, oh, this is cool. But it was one of those like, oh, you have to lose. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense in this story, but I wish I could just, you know, mm-hmm. do a little something. But it was good. It was good. The Invincible was good. I liked it. I would recommend it if you're looking for that. Like, if you're, there was an idea thrown around about if you mix a novel with a video game, like we could have a discussion on a podcast about, like, I read the book and then I played the game. And I feel like The Invincible is one of those.
All right.
Yeah, it does a good job.
So that is a written review coming to our website soon?
Yep, soon.
Perfect.
This is going to be like the third one we got locked and loaded. Like,
this ahead is, of time. So. This is what we would call churning out content.
We got it, man. We got it.
I heard that Joel's got at least 3 beta breakdowns in him.
Mm-hmm.
This month.
He does.
Maybe I did. Who knows? Probably end up being on 3 of them anyway.
I could tell you, Joel, if we did all 3 of them, we could literally do nothing for like the whole summer.
That's what he's marketing it like that. It's not true. Don't be fooled.
If we knock him out, we ain't gotta do nothing.
That's not.
We ain't gotta do nothing.
Yeah.
He keeps telling me to stay thirsty, and then he said slurp to me once.
I've never said slurp slurp. That has never come out of my mouth. Should that be the catchphrase? Getty, should that be the catchphrase?
I don't know, Alex. What would the catchphrase be?
Slurp slurp.
That nope. never came out of my mouth.
I need no. I good? Need that as a soundbite.
Slurp slurp.
Bad. Bad.
There's your clean read.
We're making the internet a better place.
this goes on a t-shirt. What?
No, I sent you your t-shirt earlier in the week.
That was a bad design. I'm making a design for a t-shirt, and it won't be the one you gave me.
Okay. Okay. We got episode here? We got one last thing. Do you guys have any other games you want to throw out there?
I will say that there was a review that went live today as of Thursday, the recording of this podcast, that of Pepper Grinder. Which, Joel, we should probably throw a tweet on that one. The Devolver game, that game's a lot of fun. So I think people should check out the review.
Okay. Good.
Thank you for giving me work instructions while we're on recording.
We're going to drive him crazy one of these days, and today's
Write that down,
day.
Joel. Write that down.
Let's move on to our final segment of the night, One Last Thing. And this week's One Last Thing is brought to you by Mandatory Overtime, which Joel is doing right now.
Yeah,
he's just trying kinda. To enjoy his spring break, and here we are, racking it with our demands.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm on call.
Again? Weren't you on call last time?
He's always on call.
Oh, dude,
I'm
getting the money,
racking
man.
Racking up the hours.
It's all on purpose. I'm supposed to be on call once a month, and I've been on call 3 times this month, man. You got to grind, man. Rise and grind.
Also, not the subheader of the review.
Monster Hunter, rise and grind.
Get that bread.
You're one paragraph too low. Let's just finish out the episode here. All right, I'll go first, if that's okay.
After
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Alex, it's fine.
Yeah. After right. you. Yeah, thank do what you gotta do.
I do what I want. My one last thing is I did a little bit more Persona, trying to burn my way through it so that I can finally get into that Final Fantasy VII. But I know there's all these other games that are out there. I gotta play games, guys.
Like a Dragon.
I gotta play that.
Infinite World.
All right, Alex, what do you got?
Not too much. I'm hanging in there. I just knocked out 2 reviews. I'm pretty pumped on that. But while sitting here, I also realized that I signed up for at least 3 other reviews. And I was like, oh, crap, I forgot that I even had those. I'm not paying attention to what I'm signing myself up for.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when he's like, yeah, if we do it, we don't have to do anything. And then signs up for three more reviews. All right. Joel.
My Mass Effect update, second time went a lot better. We finally got out of the Citadel. And cool. Now we're dealing with space white collar crime. Seems like so far. Coupled with some murder.
Did you get some tax evasion people?
Very sketchy organization you're trying to go to and climb a mountain with a vehicle or something like that. Looking for keys, I think, right now.
Have you flipped that vehicle?
I haven't gotten to the vehicle yet. I'm waiting for it.
Love that thing. They got rid of it in 2 and 3, but it's awesome.
Hmm. Well, is it like janky control?
The Mako? That thing is awful.
I love the Mako.
No,
I try to flip it all the time, and the game doesn't really let you, but I did it.
No, you can definitely flip it, and it's just like, it's it. When I played it originally, one of my friends from high school, James Hoffman, we would always joke because if you die in the any time in the game, it does like the gong, 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 gong sound. Have you encountered any of the space worms yet?
No.
Okay, so be careful for space worms because it's like a one hit.
Okay.
And you'll just be driving around in the Mako and then it'll be like, space worm, gong, 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 gong.
So, it's the Mako. You're just driving the Mako
there's
and all
no,
of a
like,
you'll see
tell?
A little crater. No.
No.
I mean, it comes out kind of slow, but if you're just like not paying attention.
Yeah,
just,
if you're just driving it, there's a couple of ambushes. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
What's funnier, though, is the fact that like, it doesn't show you exploding. It doesn't show. It just like freeze frames, then it just goes gong, gong.
It's a stupid sound. And that's the only time I've really died in that Mass Effect game is in the stupid Mako.
Oh, I died a bunch in those games. They're good.
No, it's just all Mako deaths. I'm so mad. All right. Last up, Alec.
So I've been playing Chained Echoes, and I'm like 9 hours into it, and I'm having some really conflicted feelings on whether or not I should continue with it.
Okay. Describe those feelings, Alec. What is giving you the feels?
You know, the grind feels too grindy. And I've just barely opened the game at 9 hours in. Do I really want that grind?
Are you saying that it feels like there is, like you have to like just forcefully like level up, like
to level up your skills? There's no, it doesn't have a traditional level up system.
Nice.
How do you level them up?
Combat
by beating bosses mostly.
Okay, so then there is no grind. You just have to.
But you need to level up your skills.
Well, you do so by completing the story. Right,
I guess. Yeah, maybe I'm not explaining it well. There's like leveling up your skills and leveling up your character. Those are two separate aspects of the grind.
Okay.
And the leveling up your character basically only happens when you hit those major story beats.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to grind out your skills because you get 2 to 5 skill points per battle, and they take 200 skill points to level up.
Okay. I think I get what you mean.
Sounds like fun to me. I don't know. Well, but yeah, it's probably too much of a commitment.
I'll keep going with it for
Alex
a little
is
while
on
longer.
Mute if he's trying to say something.
Also, I was going to say, Alec, is that time to beat for this game is roughly 34 hours.
Is it?
I would say you're probably a third, maybe a quarter of the way through the game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of for me where I'm like, you put in this much time.
Do it.
But that's me being I should probably add this game to the boot list, huh? You know.
Yeah, like, maybe I'll go ahead and keep going.
Bump up those numbers.
Yeah. I also say that has not led to me liking a lot of games I've played or playing this game like, I just want to get through this.
Mm-hmm. You should hook up Alex with Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you. All right.
That one.
That's it? Wonderful.
That's it.
And that'll be it for this week's episode of Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on X, formerly Twitter, at Super GG Radio, and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where Thursdays, much like tonight, are podcast night. You can come, sit around, watch us make clowns out of ourselves. You know, talk in the chat. We'll talk back to you. Or maybe we'll just talk to ourselves. Wednesdays, Alex is playing Monster Hunter Rise.
I'm in that endgame, baby. I'm in that DLC.
He's in that DLC.
Damn. I'm all up in that sunbreak. Not me.
Nope. He's got no Riz. So come and help give him Riz.
I don't like that. don't give me whatever that is.
All right, sure. Mondays, Joel is being the bad guy with Mass Effect.
Sure am.
Has that come into play at all yet?
What?
He's definitely made several choices already. Citadel's a lot of dialogue.
Sure is.
Have you?
I left on very bad terms with the Colonel. A lot of people.
Okay, good.
With the Colonel, not the Senator? Because that guy's the worst.
He's asking for it.
Hopefully the bad guy.
What about the Council?
The Council is like... They were almost like fearful. It was weird.
I can't wait until you get to the end.
Yeah. The ending will be real fun and real stupid.
All right.
You're going to upset a lot of people. A lot of space people.
Yep.
All right. If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is mail@superggradio.com and provide us a review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening and good game, Alex.
GG, Getty.
Good game, Joel.
Good game.
Good game, Alec.
GG.
Yeah. We did it. Yeah.